Okay, I'm going to read to you from verse 22. This is one of the most... If I've preached a million sermons, this is a sermon that I really would like everybody to get a hold of because it's... I believe it's so powerful. This passage is so, so powerful. It's a passage about Jacob, who... I'll just give you a bit of background. Jacob was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. He was the third of the patriarchs that God had said, I'll bless the whole world through you, the Jews. Abraham's the father of all that. But Jacob had a character weakness. His name means deceiver or supplanter. And right from the get-go, he was a bit shifty. And in those days, the eldest son would receive the blessing from the father. The blessing would be passed down. And all that was the father's would go to the oldest son. But Jacob was not the oldest son. His brother Esau was. And Jacob tricked Esau into allowing his old father, who was going blind, to think he was Jacob. And Jacob basically stole the blessing. Isaac blessed Jacob, thinking Jacob was Esau. And that caused Jacob to flee from his brother. And his brother for years had hatred for him in his heart. And Jacob had to go and work for his uncle named Laban. And basically, while he was working with Laban, Jacob's life prospered. He married two wives, which people did in those days, and got lots of cattle, got lots of material things. But this habit of deceiving was still in his life, and so... he had an issue with Laban in the end to do with deception, and then he had to get away from Laban. And Laban had come after Jacob and caught up with Jacob, who fled from his house with all his goods and his wives and his possession. And Laban had drawn had put a rock when he caught up to Jacob. He didn't destroy him, but he said, if you ever come past this way again, Jacob was going that way. He said, if you ever come back to me, towards me again, and cross over this point, look out, I'll destroy you. So basically, Jacob was heading back east, and he couldn't go west because Laban said, I'll destroy you. And so he's heading back to where he came from, knowing that in front of him was... he couldn't go back, and in front of him was Esau, his brother who he'd cheated many years ago and had threatened to destroy him. And if you read the passage, it says that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 armed men. And so this is a time in Jacob's life where he was feeling extraordinary pressure. And he was very, very, in himself, felt very, very weak. He didn't know where to go. He didn't know where to turn. He had problems that were beyond himself. Laban was back there. He couldn't go there. And he had to go forward tomorrow. He had to go forward tomorrow. Any place he could go is go forward and face this dilemma. And he was in a place where the pressure was crushing. I want to tell you, God will put you in those places. God will actually allow you to get in those places. I'll tell you why later. But that's just the background. I want to read today from verse 22. So he arose that night and took these two wives and two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook and sent them over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, what is it you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen the God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over, Reuel the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shank which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. So there's Jacob in a time where he's got crushing pressure. He's got something to face tomorrow, which is just beyond his capacity to deal with. And he's in what we call a hard place, a very hard place. I've said it very, very many before. I want you to always remember this. God loves a hard place. Because it's a place where God gets to demonstrate his greatness and his majesty and his goodness and his faithfulness to our lives. And each of us, I myself, have been in places where there's a sense, be it spiritual or physical, that something's coming against you that could destroy you. You've got to face something that's really unpleasant. You don't want to face it. You've got to go into it. There's no way you can avoid it. And the pressure seems crushing. Sometimes in that place, spiritually, it feels like the enemy is coming against you. Coming against you. And the oppression is so great. It's a crushing pressure. You feel broken in that place. And Jacob's in that place. And I want to tell you what God wants us to do when we feel in that place. When you're in that place, a lot of people these days, they get on the internet, or they get into a book, or they go and seek some advice from men. But there is a time when you're alone and you're in that place and no one else can help you. You've got a problem that nobody else can solve. The only thing to do, Jacob, first of all, you see in verse 22, he puts all his women, all his children over the creek. And it says in verse 24, Jacob got alone with God. There are things there are victories that only come when you get alone with God. I know I've preached this many, many times, this time I think many, but the most important thing that happens to you is that you have a place where you go frequently simply to get alone with God. It's great to meet here on a Sunday, but victory doesn't come on a Sunday. Victory comes out of the place of intimacy with the Father, which we maintain daily, or at least a few times a week. And so he gets into a place and he gets alone with God. And what happens when he's alone with God? It says he wrestled with God. And in verse 30, it says in that place, he wrestled with God. He said, God, I need you to bless me. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. God asked him a question. He answered the question. Then it says, God did bless him. And Jacob said, I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. If you get in the place where you get alone with God, you seek him, God will reveal his face to you by pouring out the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray this prayer before we leave. Oh God, shine your face upon me. Bless me. May my countenance, put your countenance on me. And may I experience peace in Numbers 6. That's not a religious prayer. That's a desire that God will shine his face on us. And in the secret place when we go into prayer, God will pour out his Holy Spirit and he'll reveal his face to us. That's why we're told so often in prayer to seek his face. And the greatest blessing we have is we're in that place and God's face is shining upon us. We actually have an encounter with God in the Holy Spirit. And when he goes and he seeks God, he gets alone with God. God reveals himself to him. He says, I've seen God. God became manifest in the Spirit to him. Because victory is not in the flesh. Victory is in the Spirit. God poured out the Holy Spirit. He said, I've seen God. I've had an encounter here where I've seen his face. And when you have that, even when you're in a hard place, when you're in a battle and you've gone to the prayer closet, I want to tell you some of the things that happened. In the secret place where you get alone with God and you pour your heart out to God and you tell your problem to God alone. And you say, God, I've got a pressure that's going to destroy me, but I'm here to seek you and your power. I'm here to seek you and your face. And I'm here to wait till your Holy Spirit manifests here and changes everything. I want to tell you what God does in that place. God comes to him and he says, first of all, he says, what is your name? Who knows when God asks you a question in the Bible, he already knows the answer. God always knows the answer because he's omniscient. He knows all. But Jacob has been told from birth, he's been called deceiver and supplanter. And some of us have been told and called by other people names which we've defined ourselves by. Names we've actually accepted in our spirit. I'm talking, preaching tonight on tearing down strongholds. Come for that. But we have. But when we're in the secret place, God, the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, who are you? What is your name? And he says, I'm Jacob. He says, you now shall not only be called Jacob, but Israel, which means prince of God, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. If you get in the secret place, what happens when you're in that place with God? God will come to you over and over. Whatever anyone's called you, whatever anyone's said over you, God will say to you, you're a prince. Because what is a prince? A prince is a relative of the king. And we are related by blood to the King of Kings. I am a brother of the Son of God, which makes me a prince with God. And if I have a problem, if I have a problem with oppression, if I have a problem that feels overwhelming, I want to tell you, I have a king who's over that problem. I have a king who's king of that problem. I have a king who is over all, and I am the son of that king. That's who I am. So in the secret place, God comes and reveals to us who we really are. He brings us back into that place where we know who we really are. And there's Jacob. He's in that place. Some translation says he was alone and a man wrestled with him. Others say that an angel wrestled with him till the breaking of day. You know, there is a something that can happen in the place of prayer where God pours out the Holy Spirit upon you, shines his face on you, where you feel so weak, you feel so oppressed. If you go on in the natural, you've got no strength physically, emotionally, or spiritually. But there is a place that God brings you to where that weakness is actually supernaturally transformed into strength. That's why Paul can say, I rejoice in my trials, I rejoice in my oppressions, in my afflictions, because when I am weak, I am strong. When you're in that place, it says, and Jesus was in that place too in Gethsemane, I'll get to it in a second. When you're in that place, here it was, he's crying out to God, he's seeking an encounter with God, and a man comes to him. When Jesus was in that place in Gethsemane, it said, an angel came to him and strengthened him. I want to tell you, God still has angels that are coming to people in the prayer closet today and imparting a strength into your body, into your minds, and into your emotions that you cannot get any way except in the Holy Spirit. You cannot get it any way except through wrestling in prayer. You cannot get it any way except waiting in the prayer closet till the Holy Spirit comes and realigns everything, and angels come and minister to you because you're seeking him. So when you're in that place, your weakness is turned into strength. You know, in that place, David called it the secret place. It's a place of God's presence. You get under God's protection. Psalm 32:4 says, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. There's a place and a promise God has for his people that you will walk in divine protection. You know, you'll see things happen to other people, and you'll just watch, but they don't touch you or your family. That's why the Bible says 10,000 will fall at your right and 1,000 at your left, but it won't touch you. God puts a shield over those who go to him in times of pressure. in the secret place. And he says, I've seen God's face and my life is preserved. You know, in that place, Jacob walked in there, a self-sufficient man, a man who had gone away in his own strength. He'd had an encounter with God, but he was still a self-sufficient man. And on the way to his uncle Laban's, he'd actually had an encounter with God in the Holy Spirit where he laid down at night. He had nothing, but he just had a pillow. That was his only possession, a rock for a pillow. Yet God opened the heavens and he had an experience in the Holy Spirit where he saw angels coming down. So he met God, angels going up and down a ladder in a vision. He saw it, he met God, but he wasn't changed. And so he went on to Laban and he was still a bit of a wheeler and dealer when he was working with Laban, wheeling and dealing his way with Laban. And what he was a self-sufficient man. He was a man who thought he could get by using his own abilities and his own strength. And you can never get to where God wants you to get to if you have that attitude. There needs to be a humility and a dependence that you can do nothing apart from him. And so what happened with Jacob in that place? God touched his hip. And what he did, he touched his hip. So for the rest of his life, he had a limp. And what that signals was death to his ego. Some of us, we get up in the morning, we think, I've got an issue with my wife. She's not doing what I want her to do and she's not good enough for me. And I'm not going to be nice to her or my father or my kids. I'm not going to be nice to them. And you start to think, I don't need anybody. I can do everything. I don't need them. And the issue is pride. Pride comes before a fall. And the place where your pride is dealt with every day is in that secret place of wrestling with God. That's why 1 Peter says, the Bible doesn't say ask God to humble, it says humble yourself. How? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. When you're in the secret place and God meets you in that place, you cannot come at that place proud. You cannot come at the place thinking, I don't need anybody. You come at the place dependency, knowing that you need God to be the strength of every aspect of your life. He was changed in that place. But here's the big thing. You know, this is what will happen for you. This is what will happen for you. You all are going to face circumstances, maybe at work on Monday. Maybe you got a family issue. I've had this with my own siblings. This is a very powerful story to me because I've had this with my own brother. But you got a meeting with somebody that you want to meet. And you look, or something ahead of you, a business meeting, where you think, I'm gone. And there's no way to turn. There's nothing anyone can do for me. It's in the natural, it looks over. It looks like there's a pressure coming against me that's going to take everything. It's going to wipe me out. It's going to take all. Or it's something where you feel like there's something going to happen to me. I could lose everything. I want to tell you, there's a place in that prayer closet where you get on your face before God. We don't just sing this song, this is how I battle. This is how I battle. This is how, you may think that I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. There's a place when you get on your face and you get before God and you say, God, I have nothing. I'm just here to seek you. I'm dependent upon you. I got no strength in my own. As Jacob says, God actually not only shows you who you are, he shows you your own weakness, lets your own weakness go. But in that place, when you belong to God, tragedy gets turned into triumph. Defeats get turned into victory. God actually enters into the battles of those people who seek his face. Look, I tell you, if you go to Psalm 24, it speaks about it. It speaks about a generation, which I trust that we are this generation. And it says this, it says, who has, Psalm 24, who may ascend in the holy hill of God? That's the place of prayer. Who may stand in his holy place? Goes on verse 5. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Then it says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory is coming in. He's coming into your situation. The King of glory, the one strong and mighty, he's coming into your battle. The King of glory, oh, open up the gates, because God in all his glory is coming to you, and he's coming into your battle, and he only comes to those who seek his face. Hallelujah. So what happened? He came out to see Esau. And what happened? I want to tell you, when he was on his face, that God got into his battle, and as Esau was coming to destroy him, God entered into the invisibles, and he spoke to Esau, and he changed his mind. And so when he met Jacob, instead of being destroyed, he had favor. He had favor. What did he do? What did he do? He simply got alone with God. Got alone with God. I want to tell you, if you go to Luke 23, it's not just Jacob that did this. Jesus himself went, it says in Luke 23 to verse 39, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives. And this is where God was, he was going to face the cross. And he said to the disciples, pray, lest you enter into temptation. He was withdrawn from them a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. And he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared from the heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose up from prayer, he had come to his disciples. He found them sleeping. He said, why do you arise? Sleep and pray, lest you enter in to temptation. Oh. I've often said, if you pray it out, you'll walk it out. If you pray it out, you'll walk it out. There was Jesus. He had to do something. He had to go to the cross and die a criminal's death, the Son of God, for the salvation. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be here today. And he was so oppressed by Satan. He was so oppressed in that moment. Satan came at him. Whenever you're going to do something great, whenever you're going to go through, Satan will come at you just before you get the victory. Satan came at him and he oppressed him, and he was so oppressed. When he prayed, it said blood came out from him. He's so oppressed. And Satan was trying to get him to take a different way. Satan was going to try to get him to take a different way than the cross. And Jesus knew in his spirit the agony of the cross, but he also knew the victory of resurrection that was beyond it, the salvation of the whole world that was coming through it. But still this oppression came at him. And God, and he said to him, he said, God, it's hard what I've got to face. What that thing I've got to face tomorrow, like Jacob. It's hard. Is if there's any other way out, oh God, oh Father, let there be. Yet, not my will be done, but your will. Yet, not my will be done, but your will. And as he prayed that, he prayed it in a place called Gethsemane. And Gethsemane's name means olive press. It's very, very significant, because a place where he was pressed by the enemy trying to destroy him. But you know what happens in an olive press? As you press the olive, as the olive is pressed, the oil starts to flow. And as Jesus felt the pressure, he prayed. And then in Matthew's version, it says, as he prayed and they slept, he went a bit further. Because there's an outer court, there's inner court, there's a holy of holies. And he went a bit further into prayer. And he was pressed, and he went a bit further into God. And as he was pressed, that oil is pressed, the oil started to flow. And if you press when the enemy comes to oppress you, what happens? You keep praying until the glory starts to come back. The glory and the strength starts to come back. The oil starts to flow, and the anointing is back on your life to do anything God calls you to do. Anyone who's truly anointed is pressed. Anyone who's truly anointed is often pressed because it's what makes the oil flow. And so he went through, and as Jacob went through and he saw what was a defeat turn into a glorious triumph, Christ went through what looked like a tragedy into a glorious triumph. But I want to show you something. Peter failed. And if Christ hadn't prayed, he'd still be in a grave. Some of us are still in graves and we don't have the victory because we don't pray. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's that simple. But he went through from death, and then, because he prayed, the power of resurrection came. God's power came into his situation. God's power that turns defeats into victory came in. Why? Because he was a man who prayed, got alone with God, had a secret place. I want to tell you, this day and age, I see a lot of people, a lot of Christians of all varieties not experiencing victory because their life is their phone. Many people are taking their religious instruction from the internet. I want to tell you, if you get it from a book, if you get it from a preacher, if you get it from the internet, it ain't going to have power. But if you get it from God himself, if you get it from encounters with God in the prayer closet, you cannot be defeated. I want to show you something, church. This is how I start most of my days. This is how I start most of my days. Like this. Like this. Like this. Oh, God. And after a while, sometimes I get up and I'm still oppressed, so I go back to that place. I go back. But I want to tell you, there's a time every day where the Holy Spirit comes to me. And I say this in humility, but I know I can't be defeated. I know whatever's in front of me, I'm going to have victory. And I know it before I've had the encounter. I know I'm different. I know I've been changed in that place. I know I have a strength that I didn't have when I entered that place. Because I have my battles like everybody else has their battles. You know the last thing that happens in that place? Jacob had been told he was blessed. His father had played the blessing over him, the very blessing that Abraham, that you'll be fruitful, you're going to multiply. This is God's will for everybody's life. You be fruitful and live in increase and multiplication. That is God's desire for every Christian. And yet he was in that place and he knew he wasn't living in the fullness of it. You can see the promise of it. You can see where, I can show you, he made the promise to him in Genesis chapter 28. God said, I give you the blessing of Abraham. You and your descendants with you. You may inherit the land. And he knew he wasn't living in that. But see, in that place, he wrestled with God. And he said, I'm not going to let you go till that blessing. Verse 26, till you bless me. I'm not going to let you go. He engaged with God and he said, I know this is not happening. I've got a bad character. I've got enemies. It's not supposed to be like that. I'm going to engage you in prayer until this blessing that was promised through my father actually becomes manifest. And in verse 29, in that place of prayer, he blessed him there. He blessed him there. You say, what's that significance to me? If you go to Galatians chapter 3, you'll find this. Galatians chapter 3 says Christ became a curse for us, for everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. So that same blessing, that same promise that Jacob had and wrestled through has come down through Christ to me. But if it's not happening, if I'm not living a life of increase of blessing, how do I happen? I engage God in the secret place. I engage him in prayer until it becomes manifest. Until it becomes manifest. If I die as a preacher, if I die, and I can impart this one practice, we're being practical today. I felt God say, be practical with your people today. If I could impart this one practice to you, one practice, get alone with God. Often, get alone with God. It's wonderful to come into the fellowship. And we need one another. We need, because the body needs one another to burn. You know what? We're called a fire of God. People talk about the fire of God. The coals, each one of you are a coal in that fire. And coals only burn and keep the fire going when they're together. That's why if you take one coal out of a fire and put it on the side, it goes out very, very quickly. That's what happens to Christians that stop coming to church. So I don't need the church anymore. I got the internet. You got no fire. Holy Spirit's not on your life anymore because you need the body. We're not a club. We are a body. There's an ear and a leg, and we need one another. But having said the fact that we are a body, there is a place, there is a history, there is a richness that can only come by being alone with God. You have a personal history with God. That it's just, but it's very, very personal. It's deeply personal. Some things I go to God in the secret place. I don't come to the prayer meeting here and share. It's deeply personal. There are pressures I face sometimes that are deeply personal. Oppressions, tests we face that are deeply personal. And they're the times you just got to get alone yourself with God. You've got to be able to go to that place. Sit there in your prayer closet. Put a little praise and worship music on. Do whatever it is. Sometimes you just wait. Bible says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. But I want to tell you, in his presence, he will come. Shine his face. In his presence is fullness of joy. If you're mad or you're sad, when you've been in the presence of God, you come out glad. It's impossible not to be, because in the presence is fullness of joy. If you encounter him in the presence, you cannot come out anything else but like Christ. So if you've been in that presence and you wake up, you've had a fight with your wife the previous night before, you wake up in the morning, you love your wife. You're totally different. You're no longer the supplanter, you're the prince. The change happens in the secret place. Strength that is not of this world happens in the secret place. When you're weak and crushed, feel like you're facing a test that's too hard, I want to tell you, there's a purpose in the crushing. If we stay, we go a little further in prayer. Yes, we feel crushed, but you'll find the oil in that place. The glory starts to come. The anointing comes back upon your life. Angels minister to you. And you feel like David, I can fight Goliath. I can fight a bear because I'm not only alone anymore. The Spirit of God has come back upon my life. I want to tell you, God sees into that place. Let's stand up and praise him. He's still doing that today. He's still doing that today. He's still got victory. Father, I lift up everyone here today who's facing something. You've got this word. Someone here is facing something, Lord. Father, I thank you. You love your children. I thank you. You are, Lord, you turned Hezekiah's tragedy into triumph. You did it for Asa. You do it for everyone who seeks you. Father, let us be. Let this congregation be the generation of Jacob who seeks your face, who is changed in that place, who knows the blessing, who receives us the strength of the anointing. Father, even tonight, release a fresh anointing on your people today. Let there be a fresh anointing of the Spirit for everyone who feels hard pressed today. Holy Spirit, come and touch them. Pour your glory out upon them. Pour your strength into everybody. And Father, let there be a testimony in this house even next week. Even next week, that you do it again, Lord. That you're still doing it because you're unchanging. Father, I praise you and I thank you that you are with us. That you are with us. And if you are with us, Lord, show us, Lord, nothing can stand against us. Show us the fact, Lord, that no enemy can prevail against the children of God. Oh, we bless you for victory. We bless you for victory. In Jesus' name.